This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. It's Tuesday, the 8th of September. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my stonkingly hungover co-host, Jill Serkin.
I blame pub Sauvignon Blanc, Paul
Do
Andrews.
You? Yeah. You've been drinking cheap plonk again, haven't you?
Yeah, well, it did taste nice. It was so nice. I had a lovely walk along the Saxon Shore away.
Did you?
Yeah, in a wench-like walk, and a Saxonish walk. And it's stunning. It's absolutely beautiful. We're doing from Whitstable, and we're going to end up on Sheppey.
Right.
So we're right near the Sheppey Bridge. Yesterday we were in Tong.
Right.
T-O-N-G.
Yeah.
E, I think. Is there an E on the
end? Yeah, there
is
an E on the end.
Tongi.
Yeah.
So we've done Cognac, we've done Sea Salter, and it's absolutely lovely.
When you say done, you've drunk it dry, is what you mean.
We've walked.
Right.
We've seen amazing wildlife, and we need to get the little book of Kentish birds.
Do you?
Paul Andrews.
Yeah.
Because we go, oh, look, there's a bird of prey. Look, what is it?
Condor.
And the thing is, I just bluff, and I go, oh, that's a lesser spotted kestrel, you know, and my husband believes it.
Does he? Yeah.
Yeah, it's really bad. Because he's a nice Jewish boy. He was brought up in North London, in Camden. Yeah. He knows nothing about...
He doesn't know about birds.
He doesn't know about country, birds, animals, nothing. So he just believes everything I say. But very, very beautiful. And, of course, our friends that I've managed to find quite a lot. I've been four times in the last week to the Ship Inn. Big hello to you guys. The Ship Inn in Cognac. It's a free house.
Is it?
And you know I do love a free house.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean by a free house. How many times have you been there?
Four in the last week. I discovered it a week ago.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. I thought you went there for the first time. You've been back. You keep going back.
I'm wearing it, yeah. I recommend the deep-fried pork crackling with a little apple sauce as a nibble, just to start. And then the squid... The peppered squid, which is battered.
I'm going to have a conversation with Richard, who's going to be our guest later on in the show. Before we went on air, we were discussing the fact that Jules has put on weight, and we couldn't work out at all why she was doing that. And it's probably got nothing to do with having pork crackling as a starter.
No, that was the nibble before the starter.
That was a pre-starter.
Yeah, pre-starter.
That's the antipasta.
That's the nibble while you look at the menu.
Right, okay.
And then I went on to the fried squid, which was just sublime.
Right, okay.
And then I had a really nice, actually, salmon, not fattening at all. They did it for me in a really nice sauce with broccoli and a little bit of chilli. That was gorgeous. But the piece de la resistance... Richard, you got to go. It sounds really boring, but they do a baked yogurt, and it is just divine with
baked
plums.
Yogurt. Yeah. How do you bake a yogurt?
Exactly.
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
This is what I was saying.
Hold on, wouldn't the pot melt?
Well, no, they put it in a proper pot, yes, like what you did there. I asked Damon the chef. I've had it four times running now. Every time I go, I have the baked yogurt. It's divine. And I said to him, Damon, what do you do? I've got a thing about vanilla. I love vanilla, apart from your Twitter handle, of course, you know, aside from that. I adore vanilla. It's one of my favourite flavours. And I, as you know, I love a panna cotta.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? Panna cotta is my go-to dessert. And I don't like it messed. I like it vanilla-y. I don't want it with chocolate or any other rubbish. So this is kind of a panna cotta-y thing. And I reckon they've swirled some double cream in there, Kentish, of course. It's divine. So go there just to have the baked yogurt. Is amazing. So I've had four of those now.
Fantastic.
And yeah, it's a bit like going to South Carolina or North Carolina.
Is it?
So I know we have a guest on later.
We do have a guest from North Carolina on later. We've also got a guest from Sittingbourne.
Yeah. Who's going to go to Cognac? He can't wait.
Yeah, because you've made him go.
It's on his diary.
I want to tell you about this week's show sponsor. And then while we're on the theme of food, I've got something I want to tell you about. A big thank you, Flexible Training Solutions, for the glass glazing and wider construction industries, fitfortrade.co.uk, for all your training qualifications, occupational compliance and peace of mind. Thank you for sponsoring today's show. That's the lovely folks from Fit for Trade. I want to tell you about this. My good mate, and your good mate too, Jules, Mr. Paul Babra.
Oh, we love him.
Yeah.
Now, he's another reason where my waist expanded.
Yeah,
actually.
I know.
Do you remember down in Romney Marsh?
Well, yeah.
He bought delicacies.
But I went to see Paul a couple of weeks ago,
Just to stock up on the vindaloo?
No. He just said, come over and see me and have a look at my new kitchen. So, of course, while I was there, he kept cooking me stuff.
A hardship.
It was so hard. anyway, Paul's involved in this, and it's the Caribou BAME Women's Group. Let's Cook, and it's a curry workshop with top Indian chef Paul Babra, and it's the Curry Kachumbari Know Your Spices webinar. So it's a cooking class, a curry cooking class online. It's taking place on the 9th of September, which I believe is manana, isn't it? It's tomorrow.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, 7:30 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. and it's on Zoom. I have a meeting ID for you. But you probably won't remember it. But if you do, it's meeting ID 883-8190-3312. Can find out more about it by emailing caribou.kent@btinternet.com. Let me spell that for you. It's K-A-R-I-B-U-K-E-N-T, caribou.kent@btinternet.com. Find out, join the seminar, get some instruction on a curry workshop with the absolutely fabulous Mr. Paul Babra. And I have to say, Paul is an absolute star. The things that man's been doing, he's been cooking hundreds of meals for NHS staff and key workers. He's been handing out meals to homeless people. Fantastic stuff. And I believe that this event, his curry workshop, is part of the community fund project. So check that all out. You can find Paul on the Twitter at Paul Babra, or you can find him on Facebook at Babu Babra. That's B-A-B-R-A. Check it out. The Kachumbari Know Your Spices Curry Workshop.
Kachumbari.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce Kachumbari. That. Kachumbari.
Well, his cooking is exquisite.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah.
I've partaken of it on many an occasion. So well done, the Paul. I've got a... Well, should we introduce our guests?
Yeah, go on, go for it.
Well, we have the lovely Richard Pilton for the first time in the studio since February?
Yeah.
It's not his first time.
It's our first guest, live guest back in the studio. Avec le guest.
So it's Richard Pilton. You can find him on the Twitter at Kayo, that's K-A-Y-O, _ digital.
Yep.
And you can also find his little website, which is www.ko.digital. See what you did there? Branding. All very good. And he's probably on everything. But I happen to know that Richard will be swanning down to the Cognia pub that I told him
only
about.
Only because you made him. He wasn't going to go anyway, but you keep saying you've got to go because you work somewhere near there, although he doesn't work near there because he's working from home at the moment.
But, but you did refuse to let me in unless I agreed to go there.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And we've all sanitised, listeners. We're very excited to have a guest in because we don't know what to do, do we? Been quite lonely.
I forgot all the instructions
just
and everything.
You and me. By the way, you know it was your 65th and you
yes
I couldn't
because you
see
keep
you.
Telling me yeah
we know I threw a Purdy at you last week. Was it nice?
I haven't drunk it. Amanda drank it.
No, it's for you.
No, but I didn't want to drink it.
It's
so
healthy.
Amanda drank it.
There's no sugar in it.
Oh no.
Why didn't you want to drink it?
Because it was 100 calories.
Yeah, but it's botanical.
Yeah, no, it was 100 calories. And for 100 calories, I could have a chicken drumstick, and I preferred the chicken drumstick.
Oh, your diet is very sick. Yeah. Well, this is a secret stash for you.
Is that licorice?
I know you're on a diet, but it's, you know, when you're at a low ebb, just a little secret stash. Ready to catch? Ready?
Yeah, go on.
Pause up.
Blimey.
It was a big birthday for him.
Yeah. It's Dutch licorice, which is my favourite, salted licorice. Yeah. Thank you, darling.
Don't,
that's brilliant.
Don't tell Amanda.
I won't mention it.
British Catch.
I've got two packs
of
it.
Well, I'm a woman of abundance, as you know. And so when you're at a low ebb, you can just loll in a hammock and just have one.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think licorice is bad for you.
Well, it helps with weight loss in different ways.
Of course, if you eat too much.
Thank you. That's very kind of
you. You're welcome.
And you know it's my favourite Dutch licorice.
Yeah, it is. But you should have had the Purdy as well because it's a good one. It perks you up. I'm sure it's not 100 calories.
Do I need perking?
Well, probably.
Yeah.
At your age.
Probably, yeah.
You've had a big one, haven't you?
Allegedly.
Did you know, Paul Andrews,
what?
That... this is very interesting because you know I went off in a 20-year-old wagon round Scotland.
Yes, I do.
Because I was under siege.
I gave you that email specially.
I know. Well, I was under siege, Richard, in Tankerton because Everybody was off work except me, and I was working from my house. I was just going, just go home, you know, and they were all there drinking wine, having picnics and things. So I said to my new husband, I need to get away. And we went off to the Scottish Highlands and did the 500 beautiful scenic route, which was amazing. The only trouble is my new husband decided to do the whole of Scotland in 10 days, which was a bit exhausting, bit between his teeth. But there is a motorhoming market boom.
Yeah.
Which I can be witness to because everywhere we went...
Because you're part of it.
Yeah, because it's kind of COVID safe. You know, you're in your own little hut, your own little wagon. Although we did make sure that we supported the communities. So we did make sure that we didn't just brew our own tea and coffee and we did eat out and... sat outside with our sanitizer. So do support the local shops if you're out. So with all the lifestyle changes that the 2020 lockdown has brought us, families, couples and holidaymakers all over Britain are discovering a trend, Paul Andrews, that could also change the way they holiday forever. And this is sent from a company called chooseleisure.co.uk. And since lockdown eased, motorhome sales have rocketed. Well, what we noticed... aside from this press release, is that you can hire them as well. You know, people were hiring them. The idea is quickly gaining popularity across the country due to the appeal of holidaying in the UK in self-owned accommodation. And Peter Baber, who's the writer for Practical Motorhome magazine, I need to contact this man. He said dealers I spoke to have been reporting record sales since lockdown eased, with a huge number of inquiries both online and in person. Even with social distancing restrictions in place, many of these people have been first-time motor caravanners. Yeah, we noticed that. But there have also been people who have decided during lockdown that they want to change their pace of life and can see the attractions that go going in a motor caravan holds. The staycation trend, coupled with the ability that motorhomers have to set their own standards in a place that's wholly in their control, has become ever more important in these times of social distancing and bubbles. Are we in a bubble? Are you in my bubble?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Are you in my bubble?
Probably.
You must be now.
Yeah.
These unique holiday requirements have led to an enormous sales increase industry-wise. Choose Leisure is Kent's largest motorhome dealership, located on the main Ashford Road, just outside Canterbury, so quite near us, really.
They're right next door to Howfield Manor.
Oh, OK. Very handy. And they report a particularly high boom in demand with a 112% increase in sales in August of this year compared to August of last year. And Paul Santos, who's the owner and MD of Choose Leisure, said, obviously, there's been a shift in the number of people wanting to stay in the UK this year, and we think motorhomers are smart. As soon as travelling to Europe becomes as easy as it was last year, motorhomers can have their usual holidays abroad, but from the comfort of their second home. So you can go to chooseleisure.co.uk, our journey. And what I would say is something that we notice, because Gav spent, my new husband spent his whole childhood caravanning, which is why we've inherited this 20-year-old Heimer, is that the manners of the people that are renting motorhomes, they haven't got that camping... manners, you know, etiquette, where there are rules on campsites because it's supposed to be a chilled holiday. So the rules are, you know, you don't arrive after 9:30. If you do, you have to stay outside. You don't go off at 6 in the morning, you know, the gates close and that, so that people don't get woken up. And we did notice a flouting of said manners, and we were woken up at midnight quite a lot and stuff. And, you know, we had to get up in the morning early and stuff. So there is a difference in perhaps people that are renting.
I used to own a motorhome.
I know, you had a great big thing, didn't you?
I had a great big motorhome because I owned a motor racing team, so we used to go every weekend racing and stuff around Europe. And then I sold it. I swapped it for a Porsche, is what I actually did.
Yeah, that's the Porsche I know that you've just sold, haven't you?
No, this was a long time ago.
Oh, another Porsche.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I went from a five-bedroom
Porsche.
It did have five-bedroom motorhome to a two-seat Porsche, which
can you still climb in and out of one? That's
But I'll tell you what, about 6-7 years ago, yeah, it must be about 6-7 years ago, my sons and I decided to have one big holiday together, and we rented a motorhome and we drove the entire Pacific Coast High Road on the west coast of California, 1,000 miles, And we drove it. It was fabulous. We had
a
fantastic time.
That must have been longer
time.
Than that. That must have been when they were at school.
No.
Oh, after school?
Yeah, yeah. No, it was about 7 or 8 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
It was fantastic.
And was it one of those great big Winnebago ones?
Yeah. It had separate bedrooms.
Wow.
Yeah. But the motorhome I owned, the funniest experience I had with that, we were racing at Castle Combe in Wiltshire, and we got stuck on the M4 in a massive traffic jam. And I'm just sat there, got the engine off and everything, just sat there, and there's a knock at the door. And I opened the door, and there's a lady with a kid there. She said, "We couldn't use your toilet, could we?"
Well, that is the benefit. I once went to the loo in the Dartford Tunnel.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's handy because you have to normally, you know, stop at the old, what are they called, service stations.
In the Dartford Tunnel?
In the motorhome in the Dartford Tunnel. I didn't get out and wee in the Dartford Tunnel, Richard. He's shocked. No, I was in the wagon and we were sitting there. There was a traffic jam and I said to Gab, "I really need to go to the loo." And he said, "Well, go now. You know, we're not moving, so slip in. Have a little spray of eucalyptus oil afterwards, pop back." It's very good. But when you're in your wagon, make sure you do go to the little shops, you know, the butcher's, the baker.
But I can imagine, based on that, I can imagine the sales of motorhomes have gone up. And rentals, obviously, rentals are a big thing.
I think rentals are big. And you know that motorhomes are made quite delicately because they're light, like the inside of a yacht. So the wood of the car, the wardrobes and things is really light. And we were talking to some people that hired it, and she said, "We've broken about 4 doors already, you know, because people treat them like in a home, a bit more robust.
They don't understand the etiquette of using a motorhome.
Exactly. Yeah. But the worst thing for me, as you know, I travel around the world and I stay in Mandarin Oriental, my favourite ever hotel. I don't know, just a lovely, lovely hotel. And so this was a bit of a difference. And it's the if you need the loo in the night, it's the clambering over the husband. You've got no headroom whatsoever in the Heimer. So the bed is at the top of the roof and then you try and sit up, bang your head.
Yeah.
And I've got a metal knee from a horse riding accident. And so I then have to roll over my husband who's snoring his head off. And then there's this little ladder. And I've got a metal knee and you can't twist round because then you're on your husband, which is, you know, you might get the wrong idea. And then you twist back. You have to go back forwards down the ladder. It's really dangerous and you're half asleep. And
you
it's
really,
not easy, Richard.
You really enjoyed it, didn't you?
I'm probably not going to be a renter of these things.
what you have to understand with Jules's story, she's talking about a camper van that is 20 years old.
Yeah.
They've come on a little bit since then.
Right.
It doesn't actually work like that anymore.
Doesn't it? I need to go on a new one. Well, perhaps this...
The new ones, what happens is... they
Paul Santos will give me a tour.
Go and have a look. Because what happens is the sofas and couches that you sit on during the day become the beds during the night, you know, they all kind of move out. And then my one, it had a bed above the cab, and that was the only one you needed a ladder to get into. And my youngest slept up there because he liked sleeping up there.
Yeah, but
he'd get up there and pull the curtains and that was it.
Well, that's what I do. But when you're my age, and then I got very hot. So God knows what it would be like in Lord knows what it would be like in Spain or France or anything.
Yeah.
Should we get on with the show?
Cool. Yeah, well, we might as well, don't we? While we're here, we might as well do a show.
Got lots of tweets.
Yeah, we have.
It's gone wild.
I've got some cheesy tunish to play as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Did you want to read a tweet before I do that?
I wouldn't mind.
Go on then.
If my son, who works for Softcat in London, would stop WhatsApping me, I might see. The lovely Tracy Ferguson is listening in. You can find her on Tazy64. She says, "Listening now. Wow, Jules Serkin, 4 times in a week. The food at Konya Freehouse must be good. It sounds delicious." It is. And not just the baked yogurt, of course. Who else have we got? We've got hundreds.
Yeah.
Everest Web Design, ready and waiting for this week's Business Bunker with Vanilla Web and Jules Serkin. And they've used the hashtag, Paul Andrews.
That's good of them.
58 points.
Yeah.
B Bunker hashtag. And then Crystal Healing Bags. Hello to you. She says, loving the show. My radio is at the ready. I think she has a wireless.
Fantastic. Booker Wire, bookkeeping people over there on Kings Hill. They've tweeted, "Would love a shout out, Paul, please." Well, consider yourself shouted out.
She has, I'm just looking at this, it's very interesting. She has a small business.
Crystal bags, we all know.
Yeah, she has crystal healing bags and jewellery, and also salt lamps. Now, I'm a big lover of salt lamps. I've got four in my house.
Oh, blimey.
And I've bought one.
Have you got four of everything?
Yeah.
There is a trend here.
Yeah, yeah. She's in multiples of four, isn't she?
Yeah, and I've bought all my children one, because do you know what they do?
No,
Richard?
I have no idea what you are.
You're about to find out now, Richard.
You're a techie. Yeah. You're a techie.
Right.
So they release positive ions into the atmosphere. So when you've got all the Wi-Fi blasting out at you, you know that they are, I think they're negative ions. I always forget. But one of them's positive and one of them's negative. One of them's bad for you. And I think it's the wrong way around. That's why I get confused. So I think the positive ones are bad for you and the negative. But she'll tell you. But if you have these salt lamps in the atmosphere, it's really, really good. Plus, of course, green plants and opening windows.
Right.
I'm sure you do that in your sitting-borne office.
I do open windows, yep.
Good.
Yeah, and we have green plants.
Good.
Yeah.
We'll get a salt lamp. They're fabulous.
Okay.
Really good.
Right, I'm going to play some cheesy tunage.
Yeah.
Right. This has no relationship to our guest at all, except in my fervid imagination.
Okay.
Because I was doing some stuff on the website, and I was adding Richard's company and their logo to the website. And while I was doing it, this came on the radio, and I started singing along to it. Only I changed the words.
I think I might know what song this is going to be.
Come on, give it a guess.
Well, you guess.
Well, there's one of two that we do in the office.
You guess, then.
Sorry, Justin. I can't remember either of the songs.
Well, it has no relationship at all. There's nothing apart from the fact
that you sing along to it. It's always a bit worrying, Richard.
No, there's a chorus that goes, A-O, A-O, and I started singing K-O, yeah?
Oh, that sounds like a Sting. K-O. That sounds like Police, doesn't it?
No.
Oh.
It sounds like this.
Yeah.
Oh, the Bangles. Yeah, Walk Like an Egyptian.
K.O.
I love this song.
All the old paintings on the tomb, they do the sand dance, don't you know? If you move too quick, away. Egyptian.
flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's best business events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Walk like an Egyptian there with the tagline KO.
And
it
did.
Hasn't really.
We did walk in like an Egyptian.
Yeah, Justin Wenstall. Oh, I lost it. Justin Wenstall said, what they normally sing in the office is, "It's out here, brothers, boom, boom, boom."
Oh, they're much more hip than we are, Paul Andrews.
I didn't think of that one. I'll play that next time you're on, Richard.
Yeah. Let me hear you say KO.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we'll do that
but
next
also,
time.
But also, when you think about it, I was right with Sting because he does go, yeah, he has a lot of that in his Walking on the Moon. And
yeah.
He has a lot of that, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a nice track in itself, so I thought it was worth playing.
Oh, I just love that track. I used to play it a lot, you know, the Bangles, and great, great tracks. So uplifting.
Yeah.
And as you know, I lived in Cairo, so...
Didn't you?
So I can walk like
you
an Egyptian.
You did walk like an Egyptian.
Arabi.
You walked like an Egyptian with a dodgy knee.
Yeah. Anna Tkelem Arabi.
Yeah.
I were. Fluent, darling.
That was walk like an Egyptian in Egyptian. Tracy Ann Barker has tweeted, "Happy Tuesday, Business Bunker Day with Vanilla Webb and Jill Serkin. After some downtime and holiday, I'm back at my desk today. Have a good show and I'm listening live." So thank you, Tracy Ann. I hope you had a lovely holiday and thanks for listening in.
And the Diamond Circle Weddings team have said, "Be Bunker," using the hashtag, "Jill Serkin talking baking, and we hope it does not have a soggy bottom."
I did notice another tweet from Diamond Circle Weddings saying that they're in response to their customers requesting it, that they're now handling credit card payments.
Oh, yeah. I would think that's quite important.
Yeah, a lot of people want to pay
like
that.
Do they have cash before then?
Well, I guess so.
Is it cash only?
Yeah, I guess so.
For a great big wedding?
Who knows?
You'd have to have it all under your mattress, wouldn't you?
They probably wrote checks or something. I don't know.
Check? My mum still says she's just doing...
I think they're probably thinking more of the bar rather than the price of a whole wedding. Yeah.
Do you know what?
Although putting it on your credit card is probably what some people do.
Well, it was quite interesting yesterday. I wanted to buy some little eggs from a free,
sparrow
a small,
eggs.
a small holding.
Quail.
Quail eggs. I have one of those once, Richard. They're useless for soldiers, aren't they? You can't get a soldier in.
You want an ostrich egg. They take an hour to boil.
Yeah.
So I left the free house in Konya and I found a little small holding with some eggs outside, you know, and you could just pop the money in. It's like an honesty box.
Did you pay?
Realise we only had I keep some cash for when Ringo doesn't work. I have a little box in the car, and we had about 4 20p's. So we had to go back to the pub. I found that I snaffle in my mobile a £20 note I had.
Right.
So I gave it to the pub. I said, "Can you change it?" We went back, and then we got our little eggs and stuff, which was delicious. But of course, I'm used to doing. I pay on my phone now, Apple Pay.
Yeah.
And you suddenly realise. £1.20 for eggs, and we wanted four boxes, two for my mum and two for us. And there was a whole kerfuffle to get this cash.
It's not good enough, is it, for these people not to take contactless?
The small holding.
For their driveway eggs. Yeah. I mean, what are they on?
They've got a little sort of hen house that you take in there. And it was really sweet. I put a photo on my thing on my Twitter because, you know, you can also take back your egg boxes, which is really nice. I really like doing that.
Talking
of egg boxes.
A couple of years ago, I tried to use my credit card to buy something and it was turned down. I rang the credit card company and they said, "Yeah, there's been some unusual activity on your card." And I went, "Oh, like what?" They said, "Yeah, loads of transactions for like £6 and £9 and £10. I went, "Why are they unusual?" They said, "Well, they're all very small transactions, you know." I went, you've heard of contactless, right?
Yeah.
And they've gone, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh.
Of course.
Right, of course, yeah. I said, you know, it's a cup of coffee. It was some a newspaper and a bag of crisps in the shop. And they've gone, oh, right, sorry.
It is great, the old Apple Pay, but, of course, they haven't caught up with face recognition because you've got a mask on.
I got stopped in Tesco's. I'm doing this with Apple Pay, and it's going, face not recognised. What's the matter with you? I'm looking at you. Yeah. And I suddenly realised I had my mask on.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a good look.
Anyway, I tell you what, let's talk to someone sensible.
Shall we?
Yeah, it makes a change, doesn't it?
He's been patiently waiting.
He's been brilliant, hasn't he?
Wondering what on earth he's got himself into.
Yeah, absolutely. It's absolute pleasure to welcome back. He has been on the show before, quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
Mr. Richard Pilton of KO Digital. Richard, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us again. Sorry about so far.
That's fine. Good to be on the radio again.
Yeah.
It is the afternoon, isn't it?
It is the afternoon, like the yeah. You kind of lose track of where you are.
Yeah, it does feel like the morning. I've only just had my egg and bacon.
Yeah.
And mushrooms.
Yeah. And black pudding.
Oh, you saw?
Yeah, I did. Of course
you
I saw.
The whole
of course
thing to
I saw. Amanda said to me, stop looking at that. She's just teasing you. Stop looking at it.
It's protein.
Yeah.
And other things.
Yeah. Welcome back. I'm trying to remember when you were last on. It was certainly well over a year ago, I would have thought.
I think it was about a year ago.
Yeah.
I can't remember either.
Yeah.
I should have maybe looked it up before I came in.
Yeah, well, so should I, but it doesn't matter anyway, does it? Yeah, well, welcome back.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to see you.
For those
that don't know, why don't you start off by telling people about KO Digital, who you are, what you do, where you are, that kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, KO Digital, we are Kent's number one technical agency.
Wow.
Yeah,
excellent.
Yes, we're the only technical agency in Kent.
How do you... Are you really, though, then, number
we're
one?
The only one who calls ourselves a technical
agency. Have you won an award or anything?
We've won awards, yes.
Good.
We have. We actually, last year, we were Sitting Bourne's Business of the Year.
Brilliant.
Wow. Okay. Yes.
Well done. That's fab. That's what we like to hear.
It is, yeah.
We was hoping to win more this year, but everything's been cancelled.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, because we're supposed to be a National Agency Awards. I don't know. That was supposed to be around about now, but obviously...
I'm supposed to be in Singapore.
A lot of things, yeah. I was looking in my diary and I thought, oh, blimey, I'm hosting the Canterbury Business Awards next Thursday evening. And of course,
no,
I'm not.
I'm supposed to be in a little lovely bed in the Mandarin Oriental in Singapore now for a conference. But
so,
there you go.
So you're a technical agency.
Yes.
Just describe from your point of view what that means, what are the kind of things that you do, the kind of work that you do.
Yeah. Well, like other agencies, I mean, we do websites and digital marketing.
Mm.
But because we're a technical agency, we also do apps and bespoke software and things like that. So we tend to be quite a lot heavier on the technical side of it and really kind of science and research into what we're doing.
Right.
I think we're trying to... Actually, every year now we do a research document on the... I don't know if you've heard of the MegaGrowth 50?
Yes,
So we have a look at those 50 companies. Just for those who don't know, it's the 50 fastest-growing companies in Kent who... I think they have to turn over more than $1 million or something for 3 years running.
Yeah.
And what we do every year is that we analyse what each of those companies do on their websites. We social media profile them and put all this together in a report called the Digital Review to try and see if you can learn what they are doing digitally.
That's making them successful.
That's making them successful, exactly. Yeah. And kind of to demonstrate that, you can learn some bits from this. A lot of things are quite obvious what you learn from those. But the aim is that, you know, businesses should obviously look at their competitors, social media profile their competitors, try and do some research. Everyone kind of always knows this and nods, like you're doing, Paul. You need to get all of this information. It's actually hard to work out how to get the information. It's also really hard to how to interpret it in order to make your company successful.
Sure.
And that's what we try and do.
It's interesting that you say that, because it's one of the things I struggle with. I've got lots of analytics, but actually trying to make head and tail of what the analytics tell you is not the easiest thing in the world.
Oh, no, that's right, because every web agency will go, we'll put Google Analytics on there, and you go, brilliant, Google Analytics is great. We all know Google Analytics is great, but how many of you know how to use it properly?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'll hold my hands up, I don't. That's why I have people who do.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But it is a strange thing, isn't it, that we do have a lot of these tools, but even with those tools, we're not entirely sure what we're looking at or how. It's not only that, it's not only just interpreting it, it's what to do with it. You know, how do we go forward based on what we've just found out about what we're doing?
In fact, we had there's a great example I like giving to our customers about interpreting data and how difficult it actually is. And it was a bit of an anecdote about in World War II, what they started to do was mapping all of the Spitfires that would come back from doing their little tours and things like that, and they would start mapping where all of the bullet holes were.
Right.
And then they'd plot them all onto a single picture of a Spitfire, and you'd see where all of the bullet holes kind of congregated and the trend was.
Right.
And just like, right, so
a trend in bullet holes, there's a new one. That's,
well, yeah, exactly. So so what they wanted to do is work out where to put the armour.
Yeah.
Now, this is the rub, because where do you put the armour? You put it where the bullet holes aren't.
Yeah.
Because the ones that didn't come back, or the ones that came back, they were the ones that you managed to map the bullet holes. Everyone who got shot everywhere else didn't make it back.
Yeah.
And this was the thing, because most people actually think, oh, excellent, so we put the armour where the most bullet holes are.
You don't know.
It's completely the opposite.
And that is a truism of a lot of things, isn't it?
Mm.
You're discovering what doesn't work, not what does.
Yes.
To a large extent. And discovering opposites. And I mean, I think that's really interesting. And I think that salient point is really important, that you understand what it doesn't show you as much as what it does show you, and where the gaps are, and therefore where the opportunities are.
Yeah. Well, and actually, I mean, this is a common misconception of kind of about the scientific method, really, because often people think, well, we've got an idea, what we're going to try and do is prove it. Mm. It's slightly wrong. The best way to do it, what they actually do in science, is to say we've got a hypothesis and we're going to try and prove that it's wrong and fail.
Yeah.
Therefore, you kind of, at the moment, our working theory is that this is true because we failed to prove that it's false.
False, exactly. I think that's really fascinating stuff. And I want to talk to you about digital technology. Before the lockdown, I was involved with some organisations that have been doing some research, and I actually spent a day with the then small business minister, looking at productivity amongst small and medium-sized businesses. So some consultants, the minister and myself, locked ourselves away for a day looking at stuff. And one of the startling things that they produced was a piece of data that said that over 70% of small and medium-sized businesses have no digital presence at all in their business.
Right.
Yeah, so they may have a Facebook page personally, but they don't have one for their business. Their business didn't have a website, didn't have a Facebook page. Mm. It didn't have a Twitter handle or Instagram or anything.
I'm always shocked. In fact, the pub I was talking about, you know, he said to me, well, can you do some TripAdvisor, you know, make some... And I looked at their Twitter and they haven't tweeted since 2019.
Yeah.
You know, but better not to be on Twitter than have a dead, my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. But so it was interesting. So what we were looking at was digital uptake. And what we were trying to understand is what was preventing digital uptake and therefore keeping productivity low. And, of course, the single biggest thing was fear. Yeah, people didn't understand it. So I wanted to get your views on that, Richard. And I know, because we were talking off air, that you know, things have moved on since then, and I want to kind of explore that. Mm-hmm. But I just want to get your view on what you think about what I just told you about the amount of small businesses that don't have a digital presence, and whether you've noticed that, or whether the kind of clients that come to you kind of are at a different level.
Mm. I think probably the reason why that statistic is so shocking is probably it includes, like, micro businesses.
Yeah.
People who are so small, you know, one band bands or things like that, or only service a really tiny geographical area.
Yeah.
And until relatively recently, you wouldn't have benefited much from a digital presence. But that has entirely flipped, and definitely during COVID as well. People now rely on social media, I suppose. They rely on testimonials, star ratings, things like that, even for the log supplier down the road, you know, or things like that. And it does, it is having a measurably negative impact on micro businesses not having a digital presence. There was even a bit of a stats that we peddled quite a bit, which is that people will accept a recommendation from a friend or a peer, and 90% of people will be influenced by that. But what's really weird is that 70% of people will be influenced by a recommendation by someone they don't even know.
Right.
So being on things like Checkatrade, TripAdvisor, if you're, you know, obviously in hospitality and things like that, just being on those so that you can start getting reviews and getting the star ratings will benefit you, even if you're a one-man band and you only service a really tiny postcode.
Absolutely. Do you know, it's really idiotic. I'm really idiotic. I buy a load of stuff on Amazon. And when I go to buy something, I read the reviews. And I always start off with the worst reviews. And they always put me off. And I think, you know, do you know what? I'm not going to buy that. Because somebody, something I was looking at the other day, it had 1,000 reviews and like 4% were negative. But I read all 4%. I bet I get one of those. I bet I get the one that doesn't fit and does well. I'm not going to buy that. And it's weird, isn't it? How you look at some of these things.
Oh, see, I try and sift them out sometimes. Yeah. I like reading the negative ones, particularly about hotels and things like that. Yeah. And they say, we stayed at this hotel. It was 2014 or something. And there was a building site next door. So one star. Which is like, I'm pretty sure they've finished now. So let's ignore that one.
The thing is that I often get asked to do TripAdvisor. And I don't know why. I must look at it. I haven't, you know, I don't do an awful lot on TripAdvisor, but whenever I go on it, it always wants me to log in. Yeah. I'm not logged in, and then I think, oh, I haven't got time.
They're trying to get people to contribute, basically. I mean, but if you get to the top of TripAdvisor in good holiday destinations, you've almost got a license to print money for at least the period of time you can maintain that position.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to many places. My wife loves it. She will only take us out to eat on someone that's in the top five in the appropriate geographical region. And that's it. So simply, they get business just for being there.
You've got to be careful how you do this, and you know, you mustn't do it just for the hell of it. But I did this. I was having a problem. I'd booked some flights, and then due to whatever, the flights were cancelled, and the flights were cancelled by the airline, not by me. So basically, I needed to get my money back. The problem was when I booked and paid for the flights nearly 6 months beforehand, and in the intervening period, I changed my credit card. Okay, and they refunded it to my old credit card. Now I know that because I used to run a credit checking centre for a very well-known credit card company, so I know how the systems work. And they're not supposed to accept the payment; they're supposed to return the payment as no longer valid. But this particular credit card company had accepted the payment, and then trying to talk to them through their technology was impossible, because when you tried to ring them, they said, "What's your account number?" And I put it in, they go, that's not a valid account number. It's a closed account. We can't talk to you. Yeah, so I went, da-da-da-da-da. So and I ended up writing them a letter, which they then subsequently claimed they never got, even though I sent it, recorded delivery, and got a signature. So in desperation, I went on to Trustpilot, and I wrote the filthiest review ever of this company.
Yeah.
And within 10 minutes, they were on the phone to me, going, oh, sorry, can we help? And I said, well, you haven't been able to so far. And they said, what's the problem? I said, you owe me £611. And they said, oh, why is that? And I explained, and they said, oh, okay, we'll sort that out. And like 10 minutes later, they paid me the money. So they kind of found it. They just gave me the money, basically. They paid the money straight into my bank account and then said, would you take that off, please?
Yeah.
And I went, well, no, because you were crap. Yeah, but we're not now.
Yeah. Well, you suppose you can't. I mean, people do revise posts as well.
And, yeah, they
know,
do.
Because
yeah.
sometimes you do kind of need a reward to say, right, they have listened to me now.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
That's a
yeah.
unique situation where they ignored you in all other means of communicating with them. But yeah.
And that's exactly what I did. I did amend it, and I said they did respond, and they did sort it out eventually. But I still wasn't going to give them a big mark because I'd, you know, Yeah. They didn't deserve it.
We stayed at a little Airbnb in Wales, and she asked us to do a review. It was a lovely little place. It was really nice, very eco-friendly as well, and cleaning products were all clean, and a bit of eucalyptus here and there.
Toilets?
Very clean, a little swish. And I took my own eucalyptus, as I do, and she gave us a lovely review.
We don't know why she uses a koala bear in the toilet, so we haven't found this out yet, but she has a supply of eucalyptus leaves, apparently.
Just turn it over.
You have mentioned that about four times.
Yeah, exactly. Four is my lucky number, apparently. But she gave us a lovely review as holiday makers.
Did she?
Because we left it clean.
Yeah.
Which is lovely.
This is the problem with these kind of review sites, though, is they can end up in an argument, can't they?
Which is bad.
Because a lot of people give someone a bad mark and they come back.
They go, no, it's not.
Yeah, and they start arguing.
But they should peter into insignificance, really, because what you want is thousands of reviews. So the individual ones doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Because no one should get 100% out of 4,000 reviews. Something's wrong.
No, absolutely.
It can just be that the receptionist might have an off day one day and not greet you in the way that you expect
So I want to ask you your experience of the following. Obviously, one of the many things that got hit by the lockdown was retail and independent retail stores. And a lot of small independent shops were still, we've had this argument for a long time about the high street and how, the internet is killing the high street and yada, 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 all that nonsense. Obviously, there were quite a few people in the technology business that then started saying to people, well, you've got no choice now. You've got to go online.
Yeah.
I want to know if you saw any movements in that direction and what your thoughts and feelings on it were, because I think it's, I'm assuming that it's become an impetus to make people actually move and do something that they weren't doing before, which has gone on. Have you got any thoughts or feelings about that?
Well, we certainly noticed that. I mean, you're right, because the high street was already having quite a bad time already, let alone then being forced to actually shut all of their doors.
Yeah.
I mean, we had quite a few new clients, mainly in the food industries, really. Right.
Hospitality has really had to fight, hasn't it?
Well, we had some butchers and a couple of farms. One of the biggest one we had was a farm called Watts Farms, actually.
Oh, I know them.
They supplied food delivery service, the famous one that I use.
Oh, yeah. I know.
HelloFresh, that's it.
HelloFresh. Bonjour, Fresco.
But predominantly, they service restaurants and pubs. Mm. And overnight, literally all of that just stopped.
Yeah.
And they had about £450,000, half a million pounds worth of food.
So rotting,
Yeah, exactly. So they asked us, can they get a click and collect or delivery website up and running to go direct to the consumer? Mm. And we did it in 5 days.
Wow.
Well done.
We didn't save all of the food, obviously, because it was still 5 days.
Did they food bank any, do you know?
I don't know. I didn't talk to them myself. Yeah. But they opened up a whole new revenue stream, which is not as big as their restaurants and pubs, but they're not shutting that down. So when all the restaurants and pubs open again, they've now actually got a larger business.
And I think that's the key thing here, isn't it?
How things have changed.
Is that forced change
adapting
isn't necessarily going to go away. Because it's added a new dimension to people's businesses.
That's right. And what I mean, that's food is great. I mean, click and collect, everyone's happy to do that and they want to. And people like local produce and things like that. I mean, basically, we don't have to ship things for miles or import things from Spain and things like that. We can go to local farms.
Mm.
But non-food stuff, I mean, other retail should do this as well. The shops. It's very, very easy nowadays to get an e-commerce shop with click and collect or deliver all done already for you.
Mm. Absolutely.
So you just go and collect. Fabulous.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, on the Saxon Shore Way as well, the abundance of apples and pears that we're growing in Kent.
Mm.
You know, don't buy an American apple or an apple from Argentina. Buy a Kentish apple if you live in Kent or a Sussex apple if you live in Sussex. Drives me nuts when people are buying things from abroad.
But coming back to this technology angle on it, I think, again, there's very few positives that have come out of this, but this is one of them. That's forced people into pivoting their business in a slightly new direction, which they should have been doing anyway, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But now this has forced them to do it. What interests me is how many people in retail in high streets don't go back to the high street.
Right.
Yeah. because they've been putting off going digital because of fear, or, you know, the fact that they were still hanging in there and they've got these premises anyway and da-da-da-da-da. But I'm sure there must be a huge number of businesses that are going, do you know what? We sold almost as much online as we did out of the shop,
yeah,
without the 50,000 a year rent and the 10,000 a year rates that we pay on having the shop. So I imagine there's going to be a big knock-on effect on commercial properties, mm, where, you know, more and more people leave commercial properties and just trade online.
So what's going to happen with those commercial properties? They're going to have to be mixed use now, maybe?
I can't hear you. Why's your...
Hello.
Why's your...
I don't know. I'm not talk. You carry on.
Yeah, you might have to change to that other mic. I don't know what happened to that there. Mm. Anyway, sorry about that.
But I think you're right, mm, Paul, because I think that basically not only has it forced them to close their doors and get online and start selling, mm, it has actually forced consumers to shop online as well, because they can't go and walk around the shops. But
exactly,
everyone still wants to buy clothes and things, yeah, like that. And this is the thing. That it had to happen anyway. And this actually, there may be like a bit of a positive out of this.
Buy clothes. You're not going anywhere. That's the thing, clothes.
Did you stop buying clothes?
Yeah, I did. I sort of bought... Can you hear me on this?
Yes, I can.
As a lady, I bought one jumpsuit that I wore for a couple of Zoom calls. I was doing a lot of Zoom calls. Something to perk me up, really.
She's talking nonsense. She bought at least 20 hats because I did Zoom calls with her where she kept changing her hats.
He tends to nod off when he talks to me, Richard. So what I did was, had a different hat on, and I waited for him to realise. He kept a deadpan face for the whole hour show on Zoom. And then at the end, he described to a T every hat that I'd worn, which I just kept changing, you know, from a Maharaja's to, well...
Also, do you like hats then? Do you collect hats?
Yeah, I have a few, yeah.
But
it was just a way of just changing Zoom, because it was, you know, we're used to working together in the studio, and it was, you know, I just thought, what can we do to make this different? You know, hats are great, but you know, we know that, I mean, TK Maxx and that, my son and daughter-in-law have been in there, and they bought beautiful Le Creuset teapots for £5, you know. Mm. People weren't consuming, they weren't buying the clothes. If you're not going to the office, you're not buying shoes, you're not buying... I haven't used a handbag since February, not a proper handbag. I've got my little rucksack.
Yeah, we always use your phone for payment, you just said.
Exactly,
don't even need a purse.
Exactly, but I'm not using, you know, normally a woman, when she goes out, would take a nice handbag with her. But, of course, in lockdown, we haven't. So that whole market is... But going back to what you said before, my mic, I completely forget what I was going to say. It was something really interesting. But what I've been really impressed with is the way that the businesses have adapted, and they have quickly gone online and that. And we know it costs money, and it, you know. So for you to have turned that around for HelloFresh in 5 days.
Watts Farms.
Watts Farms,
yep.
Sorry.
I wish I did HelloFresh.
Was amazing. I use Riverford and have done for 15 years, Riverford Organic. They deliver all around the UK. Mm. I used to do their PR, but I've kept, you know, their food. It's brilliant. And they had to adapt. They had to streamline what they were delivering, because they couldn't get the packers, with social isolating. They couldn't all be in the warehouse. So they've really streamlined. And regular customers got really upset, because we couldn't get a bag of spinach with our regular order. We had to have a veg box, a salad box. You know, it was much more streamlined. Whereas normally I get a bit of ginger, bag of spinach. But they're now coming back to what they were.
I think this is it, isn't it? If you think about it, if this pandemic and lockdown had happened 10 years ago, we'd be dead. Yeah. because technology saved everything.
Absolutely.
If you think about it, you know, all the things that have been invented over the last 10 years are the things that we've relied on during this, you know, home deliveries, you know...
Zoom and Teams.
Teams, e-commerce website, everything that we've absolutely got us through this pandemic in some kind of, you know, rational way and still fed and watered has been on the back of technology that's been developed over the last few years.
Yeah. No, that's right. I mean, the amount of people who have been able to just carry on working, but from home.
Yeah.
As you say, you know, 20 years ago, that would have been... No, all those companies
are
shutting. They've gone dormant or hibernated, tried to survive, weather it out. But
exactly.
And I guess there was a surge in technology for home working. So, like, double screen. I always work at home with two screens.
Yeah.
And we've got standing desks, which are really, really good. So I guess there must have been things like that and headphones. I bought a mic for my Zoom. Mm. That must have... is that anything you do?
Yeah. I mean, well, most of the meetings we do now, we have to do those online. Mm. Well, not just meetings. I mean, events.
Yeah.
You know, the Kent Digital Meetup is something I like going to. That's a good one. They've just opened up again, Maidstone and Canterbury's one, as well as Ashford.
The next one's in Medway, because I've got a thing about it this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they're online. I mean, we did one of our events, KO Howe. We had to do that as a Zoom call because we couldn't do it at the hotel we were going to do it as. Mm. But it still worked. We're able to do our presentations, still able to ask questions and things like that.
Yeah.
We probably had a higher attendance because people didn't actually have to go there.
Exactly, sit there and...
They didn't drop out at 9 o'clock that morning and go, I can't be bothered.
Yeah. And Zoom's great because you can see them, and it works really well. And we're doing sort of mini conferences and things on Zoom, and it's great.
Mm. You see, again, that's another thing that I expect to continue when we are eventually all allowed out. I think more and more stuff will stay online because it's convenient.
Yeah.
You don't have to drive an hour to do it. You know, I was talking to someone that's an absolute maniac, Martin White, about going to networking meetings, and he does all the breakfast networking meetings.
Right.
When they all went online and he's doing them in his gym jams, sat in his office at home, he suddenly realised he's not got to get up at a crack of sparrows. He's not got to drive, 50 miles to have breakfast somewhere. He can do his networking online. So I expect a lot of those will remain in the long term.
Well, this is the worry for the trains, isn't it? You know, they're now, under Boris, they're saying, we've put more carriages so you can sit apart, you can travel safely. But people aren't using them.
No.
They're not. They're either going in their car because they feel safer, or they're working from home. So what is going to happen with the train?
It is strange. I mean, transport's an interesting point, though, with this, because I think it's going up quite a bit now, but, carbon emissions, things like that. People generally driving less can't be that bad a thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, in lockdown, the birds in our garden just flourished. I'm sure loads of listeners noticed it. The robins and everything. The
eagles, the condors, that albatross that you've got. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But did you notice that in lockdown? Yeah. And also, we've got a road at the end of our... we're on the seafront, but we've got the Herne Bay Road there. That was so quiet. It was lovely. And now, of course, we've got quite a lot of traffic going by at the end of the garden.
Mm. Cool.
But lockdown had a lot of benefits, as long as a lot of scary parts.
Richard, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, if people want to find out more about KO Digital, what's the best way to do that?
Best way is to go to our website, ko.digital, and that is it. People often ask me about my email address, and they say ko.digital. And it's like, no, ko.digital, that's it. Go there, and you'll find everything you need to know about KO. And, get in touch, or tweet us at ko_digital, which I've actually just learnt today.
do both those things. Richard, thank you so much for that. Fascinating talking to you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Richard Pilton of KO Digital, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We've had loads of tweets still coming in. I've got loads of stuff to cover, and we're halfway through the show already. I've had a tweet from New Venture UK who said, yes, please, can we have a shout-out? Well, yeah, you can. There you go. What else have we got? The recovery well. I can't believe it's Tuesday again already. I'm back to front this week. Yesterday felt like Friday. I'm busy at the moment, so I'm going to catch up with the show later. And could you give me a mention? Yes, of course I can. It's recovery well.
Yeah. What do they do?
They are a nature-focused wellbeing company based in Kent, offering holistic therapies and natural products to make you healthier.
Oh, that sounds just up my street. I might take my mum.
The lovely Alison Palmer of FSB Kent. She says, good afternoon. We'd love a shout-out, please, on the Business Bunker show today for the next Maximise Your Membership session, which is on Zoom tomorrow. It's 11 a.m. till noon. Meet other Kent members and businesses and hear more about what the FSB does and can offer you as a member. And she says, many thanks. Cool. It's a pleasure.
Did we mention Michael Park's surveys? I don't
know. No, you haven't. Go for it.
They say, using the Bee Bunker hashtag, that's 89 points to you. Hi, Paul and team. We love your Bee Bunker show. I think that's cupboard love, don't you, Paul Andrews?
Absolutely.
And the stonkingly gorgeous Athelbrey teams, they're saying, we're all back in the office. Big shout out to clients and delighted to be offering training face-to-face, where possible, or virtual or blended learning. Great to be talking to clients about flexible meeting their needs. Flexibly meeting their needs, I should say.
Cool. Kim Stevens, care in Kent. I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker, please, for all those, for all the care in Kent, home care workers in Ashford and Folkestone. A massive thank you to our care in Kent teams for their outstanding care and devotion. If you see us out and about, give us a wave. And that's from the lovely Kim Stevens. Certainly, indeed. Do you know what? I think it's almost time for us to join the
news.
Channel Radio Newsroom. And when we come back, we've got another guest. We're going to hear from Meredith Powell. So let's go over to the newsroom, shall
She's
we?
From North Carolina, you know.
Not the news. The news isn't, no.
They might say, y'all.
Do you know there's been an earthquake today?
Yeah, there was.
3.4 on the Richter scale. It was in Slough.
Slough.
Yeah. Here we go.